Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, welcome back to Business Resolutions. I'm with Reynaldo Royo, R-O-Y-O, an arbitrator. And as we closed the last segment, I asked Reynaldo to maybe give us a little bit of a war story on one of the interesting cases that he had, where he found himself in a, where do I go? Where do I go with this?
Well, we're not supposed to do any outside investigation. We're supposed to make a ruling, an award, specifically on what is presented to you in the hearings, which is documentary evidence and testimony of witnesses. As opposed to court of law, we may ask questions from the witness at any time. We usually leave it till the end of the witness, but we may interrupt if we don't understand anything. I had a case in which halfway through the case, I found out by mere chance, nothing related to the case, that one of the parties had been found guilty of gun running, specifically selling machine guns to a group in Central America. And we're human. So I said to myself, to what degree can this influence my mind against this one party? I thought, well, maybe I'll just keep it in a corner of my brain. I will not let it contaminate the rest. I decided I would not tell the other two arbitrators, not to influence their thinking. And I believe, since we ended up with the same result, the three of us, the other two not knowing that this had happened, but feeling that he had no right in his claim anyway, So I felt it was just a coincidence. But to what extent, you know, arbitrators, pretty much like judges, they are human. See? So they may be influenced. One thing is you should not arbitrate if you have a specific bias against a group. Let's say you hate Jews or Jewish people to the extent that there's no such a thing as a good Jew in your mind. You should not take any case
if
there's a Jewish person involved. That would be a reason for a judge to vacate. You see, I told you our cases cannot be appealed to a court of law. They're not appealed. When you appeal to a court of law, the judge either confirms the decision, or he overrules the decision, or he modifies it. In our case, he doesn't do any of that yet. He can vacate. Vacate says there's something wrong with this. You go back to square one, start all over again. If there's a fraud, if he finds out one of the parties was on the take, was being dishonest, or if he had a bias like this, you know, that he should never have arbitrated this case, or if we prevented a witness from testifying that was on a witness list, and we figure, you know, it's Friday, we heard 14 people, we don't need to hear anybody else, and there was this one witness whose testimony would have been vital, there a judge can vacate the case.
And in both, and most of your, I think all of your cases, the parties come to you as arbitrator pursuant to a contract that they've signed before. We discussed that last week.
When a client goes into be a client of a brokerage house, he signs an agreement, and there is an arbitration clause. Also employees. That arbitration clause says if either party has a claim against the other party, they are precluded from going into a court of law.
Right,
they must
right.
submit the case to an arbitration panel.
And that can happen in the mediation area. The contract, as I was describing, you know, can call for a three-step process, or just a mediation process, or just an arbitration process. Can call for that, and then you're contractually obligated to go to one of those three, or all three mechanisms, or two out of the three, whatever you contractually have agreed. You can, of course, also, once you're in a dispute, even though your agreement did not call for alternative dispute, you can convince the other side that arbitration or mediation are better alternatives. But as Reynaldo was saying, one of the things that happens, and it's one of the frustrations that I've been having, and is that there is a lot of resistance by parties and lawyers to these alternative dispute mechanisms. It's hard to put your finger on it. Part of it is a little bit of not being familiar with the processes, but a great deal could be also that from an economic standpoint, it's better for well, lawyers to go through a judicial and the court system and all. Plus, they feel comfortable. And of course, lawyers are supposed to be litigating. There's a lot of lawyers out there that if you're not in litigation, you're not really a lawyer.
Well, it's a fact of life. If there were no break-ins at in the homes, there would not be a need for the security guards, but there are break-ins.
Right, right.
So in a case like this, I can understand a lawyer saying, boy, I was going to dedicate so many hours and make so much profit, and the case is gone.
Yeah, one of the things that, of course, I've now been 2 years into this new career as a consultant in the prevention resolution of conflicts, and among the five things that I offer in my career, one of them is mediation. And it has been very frustrating to really obtain mediation cases. And I've come in, and some of the cases are just so well, are just ripe for that mediation process. The parties should really, I'm sure that the number of hours we'd be able to resolve it, because it's to a great extent is emotional, and you can see what are the alternatives that they have, and we should be able to come to terms. But I've come to the sad conclusion that to a great extent in our culture, we'd like to sort of fight first. And of course we have, we have a bad settlement is better than a good judgment.
And there's a saying in Spanish like that, yes.
Un mal arreglo mejor que un buen pleito.
Right, right.
And so everybody sort of knows in Puerto Rico, with culturally speaking, that you're going to finally settle. But there's a sense that I've had, and I'm coming to that sad realization, that yes, we know we have to settle, but we'd like to fight first,
I think in your case, in addition to getting them to compromise, you have to get them both to save face, so to speak, so that they come out feeling that they no dieron su brazo a torcer. Okay. Whereas in our case, we just make an award and that's it. You win, you lose, or sometimes both parties are happy. In our case, sometimes both are unhappy. Sometimes a guy requested $200,000. He thought he was entitled to it. We thought he was entitled to $80,000. And the other party thought he was not entitled to anything, so.
And it's part of saving face, or no dejarse el brazo torcer, not twisting, you don't feel like your arms were twisted. To a certain extent, what happens is that the parties sort of feel that they have to put on the tough role, and they have to sort of, punch the other, not punch physically, but I know in my law firm, the litigators, feel that they first of all have to have this exchange of discovery and show that you don't feel that you have a weak case. If you immediately want to sit down and try to settle and try to reach an agreement, you're kind of showing that that you're not very comfortable or confident of your case. And so there's this whole cultural thing that takes place. And so what I found in my practice is that I have a lot of cases where I'm helping people negotiate. I use all the same techniques of mediation, of listening, of face saving, of trying to put the problem aside. It's got to get to attack the problem, put the people aside, etc. Use the same mechanisms that you do in mediation, helping persons negotiate. But I am representing the party in negotiating a matter, and that is what I'm spending a lot of time on. But the mediation, where you have a neutral facilitator, and the parties are from the beginning try to settle it.
Are you happy? Do you regret that you're not going to court anymore? That you're doing what you're doing?
Well, I when I started in McConnell, my first 3 years, 2 years or so, was litigation. I was kind of surprised because I really always saw myself as a corporate attorney. And when my father convinced me to sort of think of law, it was as a corporate attorney, and he had a couple of corporate attorneys that worked for the family businesses that he used as role models. And so the last thing really I expected was to be in litigation. But when I got to the firm, for some reason, I started off in taxes. I started off in taxes for about 2 years, and then a couple of people with master's program came in, so they wanted to move me out. And they moved me out of taxes to litigation, which kind of surprised me. So I was in litigation about 2 or 3 years, and I found that to be utterly, utterly frustrating.
So you're happy now?
I moved to corporate law, and in corporate law, of course, what we try to do is get people together, and that's kind of where you start this whole idea of trying to get people together instead of fighting. But the court system was so frustrating in terms of it's a different kind of world, the lawyers that you're working with on the other side. It's a different world, the judges that are really can be so arbitrary in their decision as to, you know, how they're going to be deciding things. You don't feel you have control of the matter. Not the lawyers and much less the parties. So you get in there and you really feel out of control and at the mercy of that whole system. And even more frustrating is just the length of time, the suspensions. You work to be ready for a trial or to be ready for a pretrial or whatever it is you've gone to argue and all, and then it's not handled that day. It's set aside for another time. So you go 3 or 4 months, and then you have to rehash and restudy that whole thing. So the whole process was of litigation. Bad. The only thing I could say that I like is I'm a very competitive person. I like the competitive portion of it, of trying to sort of beat somebody up, you know, intellectually speaking. But the other aspects of it far overweighed the enjoyment of the competitive
portion. So your answer is that you are happy. You asked me if I was, you know,
As you moved to this new career and instead of staying as a
whether
as
I
a,
regret getting out of broadcasting, I'll tell you, I do not regret it, because when I sold the last station, which was in 2001, then I had this very challenging thing that I did on television for Usted Decide on controversial subjects. And that was really challenging for the mind and everything. So that was really interesting.
And especially for you, were kind of like a mediator with these people arguing on both sides and keeping the emotions down and getting the what's really important, the substance out, and make sure everybody's respecting each other. You're a mediator, moderator. We call it a moderator, but you're a mediator.
And educating the public.
Right, right.
However, I also do not regret it, because the economy went downhill. And let me just give you an example. When I left, the advertising, the radio industry had $100 million. That was the size of the pie. Now it's about $68 million. So it's about 32% down. However,
the overall advertising budget for Puerto Rico
for the radio 120 area. Stations, 121
and
stations.
And the stations have got, they're more or about the same number of stations?
No, the same. But, well,
give or take a few. I mean,
they're not giving out licenses in Puerto Rico. We have as many as they have in the spectrum.
Right.
However, I do miss, the other day I went to a friend of mine who works in a radio station, and I saw he's a big desk, and the secretary would bring him coffee. And where I'm home, myself in a computer, which I'm not very knowledgeable of, and my wife will come in and say, listen, you got the wrong milk. You go back to the supermarket and go get what I told you to get. You know, it's an entire different world. You know, somebody used to bring me coffee. Now I have to go fetch some milk.
You have to go buy the coffee and make it.
Exactly. So that part I miss, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to the law firm about every couple of weeks, and I say hello to people and my secretary and all. But there's absolutely no sense of missing what goes on. I am really, really happy with the things I am doing, this radio program. I love meeting people like you and talking with them and learning from them. I just find fascinating. And then that process, I did find what was the area that I enjoyed the most as a lawyer and what I did not like as a lawyer. And what I enjoyed most as a lawyer was getting people together. And what I disliked as a lawyer was when I wasn't able to do that. And I, as I said, when I was litigating, it was very, very frustrating. So I took what I thought was the best part. And then I didn't want to also have, I was tired of doing evaluation of personnel. And I was tired of hourly billing and collections. And I wanted to get rid of all that. So working by myself from my house, removing all the, I'm not doing very much hourly billing. It's mostly iguales, retainers, and fixed fees with contingency, success contingencies, and keeping out of hourly billings and keeping out of collections. So I'd rather earn less and keep it simple.
I can understand that. By the same token, I had to every year have a budget, and every month see whether we met the budget, whether we were under, how much under, see if we can catch up. That is not that bad. That is fun when you're outperforming, when your billings are outdoing the budget and you're making a good profit. But when things get tight, it's no fun, believe me.
Right, right. Well,
when you have to reduce the personnel, you have to lay off people, it's not easy,
But you don't you work by yourself. You don't have any.
I mean,
when you were young, when you have the firm and you have, 40 associates and you have to evaluate them and you're responsible,
sure.
Make sure that they get the right amount of bonuses and that they're happy, and it's a whole world. And so there's a big administrative world which has its challenges, and in that sense that can be fun, but. I'd rather don't miss that portion of it.
I enjoy it, but there's a time for everything.
Yeah, right.
At my age, saying like last radio network, we had about 50 people, And again, it's evaluating 50 people, compensating 50 persons. They always have their discrepancies. They always feel that they ought to be paid more than the one next to them. They always feel they're pulling more weight.
Right.
And, no, I mean, that was fine during that time. I don't regret it. But if you ask me, would I go back to it? My answer is no.
There was a couple of articles, and we have about 3 minutes left. And in fact, we could have another just on the career decision of going away from what you've done for 42 years, and about more or less like that for you, and then moving on to a new career. In that new career, whether you're doing it right, and there was a couple of articles, Joanna Rosali today.
I read it.
On her view of retirement, and then Vaca Quintana.
I also read it. Yes,
about 2 days ago, and I think we could do with a little bit more time. Come back and we can discuss that whole decision of whether you retire and how you retire and how. The benefits of some people go and they play golf and really get off the treadmill completely, and others keep on that treadmill completely, and everything in between.
I planned mine. Of course, my wife did not plan for it. She bought a sign that says, "My husband just retired. Please help me," and she's got it by in her kitchen. Every time I walk by it, I see it. So she was not ready to have me in the home all day.
You're talking about the wife. She may be listening, so I have to be careful here. But one of the things, the funny thing that happened at the beginning, I took a room away. We call it the media room, and I put my office there, and really, really comfortable. It's isolated, and it's. And I have music, and I can put the TV on. I'm just really, really comfortable. Right? As I say, I don't miss an office. But one of the things was that I would invite some people, someone I was going to interview or somebody I was going to be representing in a negotiation process, and I would invite them to my house and to this room. And they come into the door, you take a right, and you go in this room, so they don't go through the apartment at all. But she said, you know, you're not telling me when you're inviting us. I said, no, wait a minute, you know. And Charles would complain, I thought you were going to have much more time, you know, to travel and to be with. I said, no, we agreed that I'm going to be a full time. This is a changing career. I never wanted and never thought, and I still do not want the word retirement. And I'm going to be very and this is the room that we have, and I'm going to be inviting people if they're going to come, and
it's like my office.
I don't want to, you know, it's not a guess of our apartment. It's part of this new career, and that took some time. I mean, given that, because I have a lot more flexibility, yes. Today she said, what are you doing today? I said, well, I'm going to play golf for 9 holes, and I have a meeting at 10, I have another meeting at 11:30, I have the Radio Oso program, I have another meeting at 3:15, and I have the UPR Law School seminar that I'm starting today. And she looks at me, wow, and this is a pretty difficult day.
Well, I'll tell you, you have much more to do than I do, probably much more income than I do also, you know, but I don't complain either.
Well, anyway, we've run out of time, so we run out of time. I'm with Reynaldo Royo. Reynaldo, thank you very much for joining me again, and maybe we'll go into this area of retirement and how we do it. But thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah. It's been fun. We'll do it. We'll do it again. So our listeners, have a good week. Hope you are stressless. I hope you are able to resolve your conflicts this coming week. And look forward to having you on the program as my listener next week. Take care.
Discussion with Jorge Gonzalez. You're invited to join Jorge and his guest each week at 8:06 Saturday morning, 2:06 Monday afternoon, and 6:06 Friday evening.